This is by far not an exhaustive type of study here, but it's meant to just give us kind of an outline that we can use. And so right off, right there at the beginning in Genesis 6, 5 through 7, we see that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And so, long story short, he decided that he was going to destroy it. And we see that twice in the Old, in the New Testament for us. We see Jesus referring to that, Luke 17, 26 through 27. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they did drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And he says that rough version again in Matthew 24, 37 through 39. So we see the environment then is very much like it is now. And there's an interesting thing in Genesis 6, 8. Levi, you can put that up. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the Hebrew chen. Favor, goodwill, grace. We'll come back to that in a second. Let's keep that in mind, how important grace is. Genesis 6 and 18, God talks about establishing a covenant with Noah, which he does with us. In Jeremiah 31, 31, 34, we have the new covenant. New Testament in his blood is how, what he how he described it. Matthew 26, 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so he wanted to make a covenant with Noah, but very much the same with us. Let's go back to Noah and grace. I'm about to just throw these notes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that God told him to build an ark. And he did. Hebrews 11, 6 through 7 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Two things now, grace and faith. The essentials for us in this time for new birth experience. It's not works, it's grace and it's faith. And so grace, Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. And Titus 3, 4 through 7. I'm going to read that one. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And faith, faith without works is dead. Being alone is what James said. So when with our faith, we have to have works that go along with it. It's not just enough for us, Brother Norm, to believe that Jesus is God, but we have to actually take steps in that realm. So I have Romans 3, 21 through 25, Romans 5, 1 through 2, and then those scriptures in James with faith. And we move on to the ark. Roughly 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. Made out of gopher wood. And from what I've seen, it's very unattractive as far as how it was built. It was just built out of wood, and it was the first boat ever. And so for Isaiah 53, 2 through 5, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, talking about Jesus. And is a root out of a dry ground. Remember, I'm talking types and shadows here. And so we're looking at the ark as a type of the new birth experience. I'm looking at the ark as the body of Jesus Christ. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. One boat. I'm just going to go along in the Bible here. So in verse 14 of chapter 6, God told Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Very interesting word, and shalt pitch, is the Hebrew word kaphar, K-A-P-H-A-R. It means to cover, purge, make an atonement, make reconciliation. And so he says, pitch it within and without with pitch. Atonement. Leviticus 11. We see it's the work of the priesthood was to make atonement for sins. Numbers, also when they were having the plague, Moses commanded Aaron to go out and make an atonement, stand between the dead and the living to make an atonement for the sin that had been committed, and the plague was stopped as he did that. So that's it's a very powerful word there that's used for the pitch that's inside and outside of the ark. Because we realize that what God did on the cross was make an atonement for our sins. And so as we're looking at the body of Christ, we're looking at the blood of Jesus Christ and the work that it did for us on the cross. And so that body of Christ is to be pitched from the inside and then on the outside with atonement. Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's a powerful thing right there. He told him to make a window in the ark and a door in the side. One window, one door. So you have a, can you hand me that, Megan? You have a boat. So we're talking about the body of Jesus Christ right here. And God tells Noah, come thou, Genesis 7:1. It's the same thing that God did for us. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So we look at this weird boat, we don't realize that there are actually three levels in this boat. God told him to make three floors. Does that sound familiar? We have one boat. We have one door, one window. There's three floors. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father, all who's above all and through all and in you all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. With three manifestations, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is how we've seen him. But there's one boat. And so you really can't even see them from the outside. We're looking at it, and I don't see three floors. But we know that God has fulfilled those three roles in Jesus himself. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Colossians 2:9. I'm going to go ahead and read Colossians 2:9 through 14. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Powerful. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. So I'm going to skip Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But we see the door in the side. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, talking to Philip, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. 9:11. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. One door. Only way to get through it is by Jesus. And so we see the door opened in John 19 and 34. Turn there, Thomas. Unless you have the Bible memorized. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water, signifying the birth of the church. When there's a birth, blood and water, the church was birthed there on the cross. 1 John 5:6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So on the cross is where he went to die for our sins and ultimately open the door for us to step into salvation. Water and blood signifying both the Holy Ghost and being covered and washed in the blood through baptism in Jesus' name. Signifying death, burial, and resurrection that we all go through. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Dying out to sin, being buried in baptism, and then being resurrected with that same resurrection power that resurrected Jesus when we received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I know I'm talking to people that are saved. I'm trying to help us be able to help other people that aren't saved see it through simple things here. So then Peter said unto them, Repent. This is how you get into the boat. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. This is John 3:5-6. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. New birth experience is what gets us through into that new covenant, death, burial, resurrection. So you can add your scriptures there. And I talked about the pitch, which is added to our life. God came and it said, and we beheld his glory in John 1:14. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's very significant that grace then truth is listed in this. Because when he was doing the pitch, he was also going from the inside to the outside. And that's the work of God in our life. The work of sanctification in our life. We're justified and then we are being sanctified. And so we're growing in this holiness which keeps the world out. Keeps us in the body of Christ, keeps the world out. The pitch on the boat. Otherwise, it leaks. And that's absolutely our salvation there. Robes of righteousness, it's not our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. 1 Peter 1:19-23 through 23. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Second Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Revelations 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So chapter 7 in Genesis, verse 1, the Lord calls Noah into the ark. It's very significant typology that they're brought into the ark before judgment comes. If you're pre-rapture, if you're post-trib, mid-trib, this is pretty clear right here. Before judgment starts on the earth, they are brought into the ark. And he brings his entire family in with him. Amen. And the Lord shut him in. This is verse 16 of chapter 7. When he closes doors, no man can open. When he opens doors, no man can shut. And in fact, keep shutting this thing and then I have to use it again. In Luke 13, 23-28, he says, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. That last part, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, you're going to have sight. People going to hell are going to be able to see people going up in heaven. Can you imagine the torment of that? Matthew 25:10-13. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And this is a parable about 10 virgins with oil, signifying that they already had the Holy Ghost. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So obviously, we get in the ark, we stay in the ark. Don't let our oil run out. We allow the work of the Holy Ghost continue to work in our lives, purifying us, and fruit of the Spirit being something that grows in our lives and begins to bear fruit. Once we receive the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues isn't necessarily the sign that the Holy Ghost is still working in us. It's the fruit that starts to come out of our lives. That's Galatians 5:22-23. We have this window here. I'll be referencing Genesis 8:8-12. So the They go through the flood, and they land on the ground, and he sends forth a raven in verse 7, Sends forth a raven, and the raven does not come back. And I'm talking typology now here. I'm talking dispensation typology. So the raven does not come back. And so the next thing he does is he sends a dove. In typology, this raven would be the law of Moses. It would be flesh. So he sends forth this dove, and the dove doesn't find any rest for its soul, and it comes back into the ark, which is the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2, 1 through 4, 2, 38. It's the Jewish culture. And so then in 7 days, he sends the dove out again, and it comes back with an olive leaf plucked off, which would be us engrafted Gentiles, signifying us engrafted Gentiles, outpouring of the Spirit to us. And this is it. We're at the end of this dispensation right here. And so this next time he sends forth a dove and it does not come back, signifying rapture. There's so much here that you can just explain to somebody. It's a great tool that I encourage you to use. But more than that, it's something that we have to make sure of in our lives also. That pitch on the inside and outside is so very important for us right now. Because the powerful thing about this, Brother Norm, is it didn't matter how high the water got. We were out fishing the other day, and Jackson was worried because he thought with the deeper water we got into, the bigger chances of us sinking. I was like, no, bud, we just float on top. It doesn't matter how deep it gets. That's the same thing with this. It doesn't matter how deep it gets, how bad things begin to happen in this earth. We're going to be above it. See that? That was a huge ark, 450 feet long. That's huge. 75 feet wide. That's huge. Supernatural provision had to be with the animals and everything that took place. But it just required the grace of God, faith with action by Noah. And then we just have this one ark, this body of Christ, with those three levels. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and you could even talk about us being saved right now, or us getting saved, being saved, and shall be completely saved, justification, sanctification, glorification. There's so many threes that are mentioned in the Bible, body, soul, spirit, all those things. But it's one ark. Pitch on the inside, outside. We got that window. So the Holy Ghost, our relationship with God, only one way into this thing, the one door. Jesus made that clear, that he was the door. So that's why we're baptized into his body. Simple little deal, but powerful. So we need to have something that we can always be ready to communicate with people. It's not a contest, and I think sometimes we have that ability to get superior and think that, here, I'm going to show you guys something here. When it's really simple things, it's really going to have the effect that's needed with the world. But with us, I want us to close our eyes. Some things in that story are a little out of our control, like we can't guarantee that, or we can't make our families come in. But we can ask God to compel them to come in. There's a few concepts in AA that I think are so applicable for us. And that hitting rock bottom, that's a must for us. That's a prayer I think we should start praying for our loved ones, is that God helps them hit rock bottom fast. That he doesn't allow them to die or have something happen to them that's so severe that they can't come back from it, but that they hit rock bottom so they can come to a realization that they can't do this on their own. We need that. Can we pray that right now? If you have someone in your mind right now, can we go ahead and pray that God allows them to hit rock bottom, allows them, just like the story of that, what they call the prodigal son, when he comes to himself, we need them to come to themselves. And it's not until they really hit rock bottom that they're ever going to really be able to change. It's not until they realize that they can't do this on their own, that it's going to continue to be miserable, they're going spiraling quickly downhill, that this will not have any effect on them. We need open hearts. We need people that don't have the self-will and pride anymore, or aren't coming in here with so much ability to take care of themselves. Jesus, pray, Lord, that you would help our relatives, help our family to hit rock bottom, especially backsliders, Lord, the people that have already received your spirit, been baptized in your name. We cover them with your blood, Jesus, but in that environment of your blood, we ask you to allow them to hit hard to the point that they come to themselves, Jesus. We need people coming in here that are humble, that are willing to receive this what can look very unattractive to the world, this ark, this ugly, ugly building, this boat here, to see the safety within it, to see the importance of it, and become thankful for it. This gospel can be very unattractive. It can be offensive. And we know that you offended people just with the things you would say, Jesus. And so we need people here that are hungry. For the hungry, your Bible says that even the honeycomb's sweet. We need people that are hungry, Lord. We need people that have hit hard enough that it's knocked some sense into them. In the name of Jesus. Not for their destruction. Not to kill them, just like Paul left people for Satan. We ask you to do that. We're allowed just enough trouble to come into their lives. In Jesus' name. Genesis 5:29, talking about Noah, says in his dad, he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." This is just a little aside, but once again, Jewish tradition teaches that Noah, once he got off the ark, invented the plow. And so this was almost like a prophetic word. Because God had cursed the ground and said that it's going to be from the sweat of our brow and toil that we are going to get the fruit of the ground. But Noah was blessed with a genius. And I don't think there's any reason why we can't be blessed with genius for God's kingdom or for the work. Or we need to have fresh ideas. Revelation, understanding even how about outreach or how to reach the city. We need genius. There's no reason why we who have the Spirit of God who created everything here, why we can't get genius flowing through us. You know, the Jewish people, just from their covenant with God, being God's people, have had way more Nobel Prizes than any other nation, the Jewish people. Somehow they've grasped onto the fact that they're God's people. We are God's people. I love the Jewish people, but we're in covenant with God. And obviously the Bible speaks and points to them also getting into covenant with him. But right now we are, and there's no reason why we cannot tap into that genius. So I want us to pray for that also. Genius in how to reach this world, genius in just every aspect of our lives. There's no reason why. you need help or if there's things that you're facing right now, there's absolutely no reason why you can't get some kind of amazing new idea. In Jesus' name, Lord, I loose that genius in our minds, Lord, in every aspect of our body, mind, soul, and spirit. Lord, I want that. I want that genius to work in us, that creative power, that the energy that you use to create the entire world. The same thing that Adam used to name every stinking animal, every species, the genius that he operated in. I want that to operate in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I loose that to have its perfect work in producing more results for your kingdom and to spreading your gospel more and to reaching this society, reaching Sterling, Soldotna, the Kenai Peninsula, reaching our family. We don't know what to do or we aren't doing a good enough job, Lord. We need your genius to work through and flow through us. And I know it can do it. I know you can do it. Hatanda bakio shmiata, ye shmiato komo ye tanda bakia. Bioton da bianda samahaye shakioton. In every aspect, Jesus, we want people to ask questions. We want people to step back and take notice that, man, that God's people, they're blessed with something we don't have. We need it, Jesus. And I believe it. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. It just takes one fresh, new, genius idea to break this place wide open, to break Sterling Soldotna wide open, to break our jobs, our families, every aspect, Lord. And I know you can do it, even financial. I know you can do it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I mean, there's got to be better ideas out there. There's got to be. There's no way in the world that this is it for Sterling. There's absolutely no way. So either all of a sudden what we keep doing all the time, the definition of insanity, is going to work, or we're going to come up with some kind of genius idea. Something, right? Do you have something, Brother Steve? Oh. Sterling's a weird place because we don't have a town. Soldotna's our town. So how do we get to these no trespassing? I mean, I'm talking to you guys. I have a pistol in my pocket. I live in Sterling. That's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that are weird like me. They're just hoping someday I get to shoot somebody. Just kidding. Just kidding. Pop's texting me right now. There's got to be a way. And I believe in the miraculous, and I believe that that's going to be a huge thing that takes place, but there's got to be something else, too. Because in my mind, I'm fresh out of, like, I don't know, Thomas. I have no idea. Amen. Did you guys hear that? That was very, very good. That's what, even with doctrine, Paul would say he was worried that the simplicity of this would be, you got the human mind would think, well, that's not good enough. I got to make this even harder. So let's make this a trinity and see here. So then we'll look real smart because that makes us have more knowledge than the disciples did because we're growing We like to complicate things to the point that it gets so convoluted and muddied that we have no idea what we even believe. Argue with the Trinitarian. Very quickly comes to the point where they don't know what they believe. Because they argue one God until the very end. They agree with you, basically. Anyways, simple ideas, yes. And this having that unction or that push from God and stepping out with it, trusting that that's God. Foolishness of God is wiser than men. Amen. Thank you, Holly. Steve.
Hail Israel, Lord our God is one Lord. That one Lord is our connection for the revelation, tied of being on the vine with him. Is when you have that one Lord, that is your connection. That is your revelation. That is your defiance of the Trinity. That's our life, the one Lord. That one Lord in your soul.
Amen. Amen. Did you guys catch the simplicity of this? How the fact that you can put the entire new birth, what we believe in that? Very simple, very easy, and it's very, very good. Obviously, it's not a perfectly clear picture, or so it wouldn't be a type and shadow. So it's not going to be verbatim exactly what we do. So I don't even talk about the animals. I don't care about the animals. If you can tie them in, go for it. I can't figure out how to. What's that? Amen. Holly, I want to close with good old gospel ship. Yep. 367 in your psalm book. Just want to follow me. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joys with you I'll share. I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Last verse. If you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you find, you will sure be left behind while sailing through the air. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm looking forward to right there. Jesus' name. So, Thomas, I expect you to do advanced calculus by tomorrow. All right, I love you guys. It's early. But anyways, you're dismissed in Jesus' name.